pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us. And Jesus, we love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, before I start preaching, I just want to mention one more thing. We mentioned about the church plant that unofficially launched yesterday at Arcadia County Park. And I was there, and I just had such a significant time there that I wanted to just share really briefly about it. You guys know Pastor Kwan and Pastor Glenn, they just got back from the Middle East. And so on Friday night, Pastor Kwan was just sharing with me really briefly. He just said something along the lines of that when they stepped out into the mission field, they just saw people come to faith in Christ, and it was so much easier because as they stepped out, that's where the anointing was flowing. And I really felt that yesterday at Arcadia County Park. It was a small group gathered together, but I just felt so much anointing. I just felt so much of the presence of God. I was asked to say the closing prayer, and I just started prophesying to different people that are there. I don't normally do that, but the Spirit was just flowing so powerfully at that time. And so I wanted to invite up David Pang, who's the one that's planting that church. David, come on up. I just wanted him to share for like just maybe 1 minute just about what God's doing, and come on up. And I hope you'll be encouraged, because I'm really encouraged by what's happening.
Hi, church. Really excited about what God is doing out there, and we're like what Pastor Dennis said, you know, it's really exciting to be, to feel kind of that sense of vulnerability again. That it's just kind of reminding me of how when in the beginning of creation, the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth when it was formless and void, and creation is about to happen. So it's really exciting to be a part of that beginning. Where we really sense the Spirit of God moving in our midst. We have a small group, about 8 to 10 of us yesterday, but we are already kind of sensing what God is going to do in the next few months and or whatnot. So really excited about that. And we're meeting twice a month on Saturday, 10 a.m. So pray for us, and we'll look forward to kind of reaching out to our community and all that in the next few weeks and months.
Stay up here. We'll pray for you. Ron was there too yesterday, and Ron, do you want to just come on up and just say a prayer for David? And so let's pray for David. I always, you know, Ron and actually he has some of his friends from the Long Beach Vineyard, and I always say to Ron, he carries the heritage of the Vineyard, and so I just feel like just blessing them with all that we have been blessed with through the years, and there's a root of worship that's in this church too, so.
Father, we bless small beginnings. We bless the way that you grow things, Lord. We lift up David to you and the vision for the Arcadia Vineyard. And we pray, Lord, that this is already something that you've designed, Lord, that you've already started it, that you've got people that you've planned for it. We pray for David for an anointing over him, Lord, that you would give him your heart for the people who come in, that you would bless his heart for Arcadia. And Holy Spirit, expand your kingdoms. Broaden our borders, Lord Jesus. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, so this morning we're continuing our sermon series called New Strategies for a New Season. I felt like there was something when we were singing New Season earlier, that God just really has us as a church in a new season. As you know about major transition for our church. That's why we're having a town hall meeting this afternoon. We have another one planned with the whole church, including the Chinese congregation on April 7th. And so big transition, new season for our church, but just also in personal lives and families here, people transitioning things in family, in careers, in ministry. And God has us in these new seasons, and he wants to give us new strategies for a new season. And the title of today's message is An Authoritative Strategy. Would you turn it in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13, an authoritative strategy. I will have it up on the screen, but I think it'd be helpful if you had it open in your Bibles too. And I'm going to start off with a little illustration just to help us to get thinking along the lines of an authoritative strategy. So let me tell you a little story that happened about a year and a half ago. So on Tuesday mornings, it's our normal practice for our church staff to gather together for our weekly church staff meeting. And we meet in the Harvest Building. Many of you are familiar with the library. It's the room that's right off the balcony. It's the room that has the glass windows overlooking the parking lot. So we're there on a Tuesday morning, and we always start off with worship and prayer, and so everyone's praying at this opening portion. And so as everyone's worshiping and praying, I hear a helicopter right above our church. So that was kind of odd. And then I looked out the window, just glanced out the window, and I saw probably a half dozen police cars pull up to our building. And then I saw a whole bunch of police officers. By the way, their sirens weren't on. They just pulled up to the building. They quickly got out of the car, and they started moving towards our building. And so, needless to say, I was a little bit alarmed by this. And so so everyone else was praying, but I just got up and went downstairs to meet these police officers and see what was happening. And so I met the police officers, and they told me that a silent alarm had been triggered, and that they were here responding to this, including the helicopter. And so they walked me back upstairs to the library, and they put our whole staff in lockdown mode in the library. And they had these, whatever, maybe a dozen or so police officers just thoroughly search the building to see what was happening. Long story short, it was a false alarm, but it was quite an experience to have our church come under, if I can put it this way, the protective authority of something larger, in this case, the U.S. government. And for that one day, at least, we were able to experience the tangible protective authority of the U.S. government for our church and our church staff. And I just give you this example as an example of coming under the protective authority of something much larger, right? And Jesus, in this passage, talks about coming under the protective authority of something much larger. And so let's see what Jesus has to say in this passage, okay? Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13, an authoritative strategy coming under the protective authority. Let's read it out loud together. I have it up on the screen in the NIV translation. Let's read it together. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. We're going to start out in verses 5 through 7, so the beginning of the passage. And just can we just read it one more time before I comment further? 5 through 7. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" So a centurion is an officer in the Roman army, and he had a very serious situation. It said that his servant was horribly sick. And so he went to Jesus to ask for help. And verse 7 tells us that Jesus was ready and willing to go to help the centurion, to help his servant. Jesus said, "Shall I come and heal him?" So it's surprising how the centurion responds to Jesus being ready and willing to go. Let's read the first person portion of verse 8 again. Let's read it together. The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." Jesus was willing and ready to go, but the centurion felt that he didn't deserve to have Jesus come under his roof. So there is a dilemma here. The centurion needed help, but he didn't feel that he deserved to have Jesus come, so the centurion offers an alternative plan. Let's read the second portion of verse 8 and also verse 9 for the alternative plan of the centurion. Let's read it out loud together. "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I'm going to give a little visual representation up on the screen of what the centurion was trying to communicate to Jesus of this alternative plan that he has. So we have a continuum here, maximum authority, no authority, everything that's in between. And so in the Roman Empire, the way that it worked was Caesar, the emperor, was in maximum authority, had maximum authority. Under Caesar was the centurion. He obeyed Caesar's commands. Under the centurion, he also had people that listened to him who were the soldiers. And for the Roman Empire, the situation was that whatever the centurion said carried the full weight and authority of Caesar, the emperor. And so as the centurion spoke to the soldiers and gave commands, they needed to listen as if the command was given by Caesar. Let me depict it up here like this, that the centurion carried the maximum authority of Caesar as he spoke and gave commands to his soldiers. And the centurion obviously understood this chain of commands and the authority that he carried as a Roman officer. In the kingdom of God, the way that it works is that the Heavenly Father is the one in maximum authority. Under the Heavenly Father is Jesus. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that the Son could do nothing by himself, but he only did what he saw the Father doing. And so we know that Jesus was in submission to the Heavenly Father. But the centurion, what he was communicating was that he said, I'm applying my understanding of the Roman Empire and my situation of coming under authority to Jesus, and he's speaking to Jesus, and he's saying, Jesus, your words, your ministry carries the same authority as the Heavenly Father. And if I could put it up here like this, that he was saying, Jesus, you have the full weight and the authority in the kingdom of God of the Heavenly Father. He was recognizing that Jesus is God. And as he recognized this, look at the response that Jesus had to the centurion recognizing his full weight of authority in the kingdom of God. Verse 10, let's read it out loud together. This is Jesus' response. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This is the only place in Scripture, the only place that it says that Jesus was amazed by someone's faith. Jesus was amazed that this centurion understood and recognized that he had full authority in the kingdom of God, that Jesus had the full authority of the Heavenly Father. Now, there are other places in Scripture where there's other people that recognize Jesus' authority. Most of us in this room also recognize Jesus' authority, recognize that he has the authority of the Heavenly Father, that Jesus is God. So the question would be, well, what was so special about this situation of the centurion recognizing Jesus' authority? If there's other people in the Bible that have, if there's most of us that have in here, what was so special about his situation that the only place in Scripture it says that Jesus was amazed by someone's faith? Let's keep reading verse 11 and 12. This is the reason why Jesus was so amazed at his faith and his profession of Jesus' authority. Let's read it out loud together. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus was saying, listen, people are going to be coming from all over the place, from the east to the west, and they are going to come and recognize my authority, Jesus' authority. But he was speaking to a Jewish audience. If I could put it like this, subjects of the kingdom, the inside people. And he was saying that to them, the people that were gathered together listening to him, he's saying, I'm not finding that kind of faith in the inside group. I'm finding that kind of faith on the outside. All the people from the distance, the east to the west, I'm finding that kind of faith. But I'm not finding that kind of faith with my people, with the inside group. The outsiders, the Gentiles, the centurion was a Gentile. You see, I'm finding that kind of faith amongst the outsiders, the Gentiles, and the centurion. But the people who I'm speaking to, the inside group, my people, my own people, I'm not finding that kind of faith, that kind of recognition of the all-pervasive authority of Jesus. Now, to be clear, this passage is talking about initial salvation. But I think what's more, and most of us in here are already saved, but I think what's more relevant for us is, are we tapped into this all-pervasive authority of Jesus? Don't feel any condemnation about what I'm about to say right now. But what Jesus is saying, he was making a very dramatic, emphatic point, right? He made it very dramatic. He said, these people are going to be thrown out into the darkness where there's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Allow me to be dramatic and emphatic to follow along the lines of what Jesus was saying. You could go to the east and the west, all over the place. Go from east to west, down the 10 freeway, from east coast to west coast, and you will find people that believe in the authority and recognize the authority of all sorts of things. The authority of science. The authority of government. The authority of false religion. Jesus said you will go east to west and all over the place in every single direction, and you will find people that are submitted and believing in that all-pervasive authority of all sorts of things. But then Jesus looks at his own people in a church, in a Christian church gathered on a Sunday morning. And he says, am I finding that kind of faith amongst my own people? In trusting in the all-pervasive authority of Jesus. That's what Jesus was saying and talking about. He was saying from the east to the west, people are coming from all over the place. But what about the subjects of the kingdom, the insiders? And God speaks to us about this. And Jesus gave great incentive to trust in his all-pervasive authority. Verse 13. Let's read it out loud together. Verse 13. This is Jesus' incentive. Why we trust. Let's read it together. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Trusting in the all-pervasive authority of Jesus led to healing and leads to healing. But as Jesus continued to teach and minister, he actually gave further implication for trusting in his all-pervasive authority. Turn over in your Bible, it's just a couple of pages. Go to the end of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. A lot of you are familiar with this passage, but Jesus is talking again about his authority, the further implications for trusting in his all-pervasive authority. Let's read it out loud together. This is commonly known as a Great Commission. Let's read it together. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go. Jesus calling these people in this passage, his disciples, to trust in his all-pervasive authority. But Jesus is also communicating to them before he goes up and ascended into heaven. He said, trust in my all-pervasive authority. And actually that authority gets transferred to you. And Jesus said, that's why I'm calling you to go. And go in that authoritative strategy. Many of us are familiar with both passages that we mentioned, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, chapter 28. But I wonder how tapped in we are to the authority of Jesus and to the authority that he has given to us. Some of you guys remember Robbie Dawkins. He's a Vineyard pastor who's been to our church a couple of times for some conferences. Here's his quote. He said this, the reality is we have more power and authority than we realize. I wonder how tapped in we are. This year we're going through a major transition in our church. Lots of moving pieces, lots of meetings. We've got a couple of town hall meetings, like I mentioned, that are coming up. Lots of craziness. Lots of things that need to be figured out. And we need some kingdom resources. We need some kingdom power. We need some dispatch of some angel armies to help us. there's all sorts of crazy situations this morning that are going on in our lives. I have a very unique perspective, right? Because I look out to you guys. I know some of the situations that you guys are going through. It's craziness. Some of the situations that you guys are going through is just crazy. We're all calm in here on Sunday morning, but I know some of these situations are not calm. They are live. And it's crazy. And we need some dispatch of some kingdom power into our lives, into our church, into our situations. Because I'm looking out. I'm looking some of you guys in the eye. You guys need some kingdom resources. You need no more counsel from me, a man. You need no more counsel from other sources. Please don't hear me wrong that we need to seek out some godly counsel. But my point is that we need some dispatch and start exercising some of the authority that we have in Christ to tap into his power and his authority that he gave us and said, go, you go with the authority that I've given to you. Can I just go back real quick to that illustration of the helicopter that came on our church that morning? The U.S. government, all the police officers, police department, they're all tapped into their authority, right? So the dispatch was easy. The dispatcher just speaks into whatever system they have. Helicopter 1, please be dispatched to 21167 Commerce Point Drive. Boom. Half the police force shows up at our property. How about speaking into the kingdom dispatch system this morning? Because I look out at some of these situations, and there's no option. There's no alternative than the kingdom of God dispatches some resources in your direction to start helping and guiding and healing and speaking into these problems and situations. I'm just speaking into the kingdom dispatch system right now. In Jesus' name, angel armies be dispatched upon your people right now for the glory of Jesus Christ, for revival purposes, for breakthrough that's needed and desperate for your help. This morning we're talking about an authoritative strategy. In just a moment, we're going to sing a very authoritative song. There's an authoritative anointing on this song. You guys know this song, Break Every Chain. I mean, there's authority on that song. And they start singing just in the name of Jesus. When we pray in the name of Jesus, that's us tapping into his authority. Not on our name or ability or merit, but in the name of Jesus, let the kingdom resources be dispatched. That's the authority that Jesus gave us, but asked us to tap into in the midst of some of these crazy, crazy situations that are happening. You got to exercise that authority in your life. You got to exercise that authority in your marriage, in your family, in your situations, in your work, in your ministry. Because the enemy is pressing in. The enemy is not happy that we have a transition coming up. The enemy is not happy that you would have a thriving marriage. The enemy is not happy that you would be thriving in your work and career and tithing and giving resources and directions of giving to the Middle East ministry. Enemy is not happy about that. So he sits with his henchmen to try to figure out a way to get into your life. What option do you have but to start exercising some authority? Jesus is God-given authority into your life to take some control back that the enemy tried to take away. Let's do that this morning. I'm serious. You have no other alternative. Exercise our authority that Jesus already gave us. Are a couple more people excited about that? Let's stand together. Let's do this. Let us activate the authoritative strategy. had some prayer items that our prayer team came up with. So I am I calling up Angela and Carmel? You guys had some things, some specific things, or Kendra, or whoever it is on the prayer team, that we had some specific things we're going to take authority over this morning.
Yeah, so we were praying this morning, and Kendra and Carmel had a few things to share. So we'll start with Carmel.
I'm going to be standing over here. If you have pressure around your head, it just kind of comes on. It feels like a migraine, but it's not a migraine, but it's around your whole head. I just want to pray with you.
So I had a picture of the anatomy of an ear, and if you have, like, ringing ears or, like, internal ear pains. I also feel like that's also figuratively tied to what we heard last week about anxiety and depression, and sometimes there's a thought in our head that just drives us crazy, and it's in our head, and it's a voice that we listen to, and I feel like God wants to do more work in that area. So even if you responded last week, just come back again. If you didn't get a chance to respond, today is a good day to do that. So again, figuratively speaking, that ear, listening to voices that draw you into depression and anxiety, and then also physical healing for your ear if you have high stress, if you have tinnitus or any ear pains.
I saw a picture, but I'm not really sure what it means, so I'm just gonna say it, and then if you want prayer for that, you can. I'd love to pray for you. I just kept seeing a picture of a ginger root, and it was just interesting that ginger root has a. We use it as food, but it's like the beginning of something, the beginning of a plant. I'm not really sure. Spirit, if you have something to say about that, speak to your people.
Come on up. Let's take authority over some of these situations. My thing is just, I just felt we got to pray for some craziness that's happening in our lives, and let's take authority over that craziness, because we're not going to let the enemy win. Jesus has given us authority, all right? So come up if those words were for you. Come up if there's some craziness going on. We're just going to take authority, and we're going to, you know, sometimes we pray, you know, pray if it's the Lord's will. I just feel like that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer, by the way. But I just feel like sometimes we already know what God's will is. It's His love. It's His power into our lives. So let's just exercise that authority into some of these situations. All right, come on forward if you need prayer. And then we're going to sing this song. Come on, guys. Exercise our authority. It's in the name of Jesus that every chain's going to be broken and the power of the enemy is going to be destroyed. Amen. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Do the work that only you can do. We take authority over this time. This time belongs to Jesus Christ and only to Jesus and only Holy Spirit. Only you are welcome to do your work in Jesus' name.